All right, here we go. We are on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. We're going to be wrapping up 2 Thessalonians. And then we're off to 1 Corinthians. We're going through the books of Paul as he wrote them in order. And so his first two books were 1 and 2 Thessalonians. And then his second books are 1 and 2 Corinthians. And so we'll hit that next week as the Lord leads. So if you have your Bibles and you're on 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 6, and to the end. And look at that. Wow, a lot bigger than last time. All right, here we go.
Can you make it bigger?
Can we make it even bigger? Not right now.
Okay.
Hopefully for next week. How's that sound?
Great.
All right. It goes, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we give you this command in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow tradition they receive from us. For you know that you ought to imitate us. We were not idle when we were with you. We never accepted food from anyone without paying for it. We worked hard day and night so we would not be a burden to any of you. We certainly had the right to ask you to feed us, but we wanted to give you an example to follow. Even while we were with you, we gave you this command. Those unwilling to work will not get to eat. Verse 11. Yet we hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work and meddling in other people's business. We command such people and urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down, work to earn their own living. As for the rest of you, dear brothers and sisters, never get tired of doing good. Take note of those who refuse to obey what we have said in this letter. Stay away from them so they will be ashamed. Don't think of them as enemies, but warn them as you would a brother or sister. Verse 16. Now, may the Lord of peace himself give you this peace at all times in every situation. The Lord be with you all. Here is my greeting in my own handwriting. Paul, I do this in all my letters to prove they are from me. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And so that's how Paul ends this letter. He's writing to the church in Thessalonica. And the thing about it is that the translation I read from, it says, stay away from all believers who live idle lives and don't follow tradition they received from us. In the New King James, I like how it put it here. It says, verse 7, same verse, it goes, for you yourselves know how you ought to follow us. But then he goes on, he goes, for we were not disorderly among you. And in verse 6, it talks about, but we are commanding you, brother, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to tradition, which you have received from us. In other words, Paul is saying here, there is a way to live as a believer. There's a right way and a wrong way to live as a believer. Paul is writing it out. So even Jesus says, follow me. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. Jesus even had a right way to live. He was not just moral, because morals are only good if you have something to base those morals on. If you just have, well, we just got good morals. Good morals don't get you to heaven. If being good was going to get me to heaven, man, I would make it easily. Because compared to Hitler, I'm good. You know, compared to someone who pushes narcotics on the streets, I'm pretty good. But if you compare to me to other people, I'm not good at all. See, that's the reason why being good enough will never get us into the kingdom of God. Because what is our goodness based on? Is our goodness based on our own self-worth? We're all good, according to our own eyes. We'll all say, well, I do enough good stuff. You know, the good stuff will always outweigh the bad. Well, did you know one bad apple does corrupt all the other apples? Because it sends off enzymes to the other apples and starts rotting them. And so you got to get rid of that bad apple. And there's nothing matter with getting rid of bad apples in your life. Because if you hang out around too many bad apples, what will happen? You become a bad apple. You'll start acting like the bad apples. You'll start stinking like a bad apple. You'll start looking like a bad apple. You'll start thinking like a bad apple. You'll start acting like a bad apple. And guess what? You'll start producing other bad apples. So that's the reason why Paul is saying here, don't worry, get rid of the ones that are bad apples. But you know, God loves everyone. He does. Even the bad apples. But it's not your job. If they're influencing you for bad, get rid of them. Because somebody else can minister to them. Because sometimes there's people in my life, in my past, I had to get rid of. Because they were not going to be beneficial of where God wanted me to go. And sometimes good people are good people. But there's a place where God wants to lead you. And if they're not there to cheer you on or champion you to move forward, you're going to be a bad apple. You need people in your court who will pray for you and will champion you to move forward in your walk with Christ and in what He has placed on your heart. And I love it when people come to me and goes, well, I'm just the devil's advocate. I look at them, I'm like, the devil doesn't need an advocate like you. The devil does a good enough job on his own. But I'm here to make sure. No. You're just being divisive. If someone comes in and says, well, you know, I just want to oppose whatever's going on because I want to make sure. No, they're not being used by God. They're actually a bad apple. Somebody who comes in your life and say, hey, I'm just being the devil's advocate. So you're being the devil to me? I'm going to cast you out. I need to get rid of you. If you say that you're going to be a devil's advocate to me, no, I don't need a devil's advocate. I need a God advocate who's on God's side, who will move me from where I am to push me forward where do I need to go. Like I've been telling people, I want to start training after my fast to start training for the marathon and for 30 for freedom. And the thing about it, I don't know what I'm doing. I know how to run, kind of, but I never trained for something that long. And so I need advocates in my life, or apps, running helps, training guides, to help me to get from running 6 miles up to 26 plus miles. I need advocates. I don't need someone to stand in my way. Pastor, you're too old for that. Don't I know? Pastor, you're not going to finish first. I know, that's not my goal. And sometimes, people come into your life, you got to literally remove them because they're going to stand in the way of you moving forward. What if their family, what if I'm married to the bozo? What if they're a family member? You don't have to invite them to everything you do. Because if they're naysayers, like, well, you're still on the bandwagon? Yeah, because it's good for me. I'm healthier. I don't need somebody to come in and start pushing cake to me. I don't need somebody to come along, hey, you want to go out for ice cream? I don't need a friend like that. I need a friend who will come along and say, hey, here's some spinach. Chew, good for you. Well, I do too. Not the canned stuff, the fresh stuff. And so we need people to come in to encourage you to carry out what God's called you to do. Just like Herbie, God's called him to reach Haiti. And he goes, when I go back, I'm not going to stay in the city. I want to go out where they're not, where people don't know Jesus yet. That's awesome. And so the thing about it, he needs people in his corner to send them out. And the thing about it, he doesn't need people to say, I don't think you're old enough. You know? Well, it's different. He grew up there. He knows what it's like. But the thing about it is that we don't need naysayers. And that's what Paul's basically saying. Get the naysayers out of your life because they're going to keep you from fulfilling what God's called you to do. And then he goes, like I said, verse 6, it talks about who walks disorderly. That's a very interesting word, disorderly. They don't use it in the New Living Translation. They use the stay away from who live idle lives and don't follow tradition. That's the words they translate. But the word here means undisciplined. The first part of it is mean unproductive. Do you know people who are unproductive in life? That they're just floating around, they're not really have a, like they don't have to figure out that God has them for something. He created them when mama and daddy got together and created them for something, for a time such as this. And it's for the kingdom of God. God did not create people for darkness. He created them for light, for the kingdom of God, to advance the kingdom of God. And so here he is, Paul's writing, he goes, oh yeah, the disorderly life, it means undisciplined. If I'm going to run a marathon, I can't be undisciplined in my exercise. If I want to get draw closer to God, I can't be undisciplined in my spiritual walk to him. Even when it gets tough, even when if you're reading the Bible through in a year and you get through Genesis, because Genesis is exciting, so is Revelation. But there's some books in the Bible that are not top five books to preach from, to read from, to get edification from, like Numbers. Oh, yay, Numbers. I get to read through Numbers this week. Guess what? There's still, what you do, you still pick it up, you still read it, and you still move on. Well, I don't understand all the prophets and what they're saying. You don't have to understand it all. Because if you understood everything that was written in God's word, you'd be God. And I don't think any of us here is God. And so the thing about it is that as you read through it, don't be undisciplined. There's some areas in my life I've been undisciplined in. And the Lord's been chastising me, because when you're undisciplined in some areas, it leaks over to other areas as well. And so undisciplined, it doesn't mean that you have to be running around like a robot, like, oh, okay, I need to do this. No, everybody keeps a different schedule. Some people love a tight schedule. Like they know, do. And other people are like, okay, I know what I need to get done for today. It doesn't matter what order it gets done. And some people are like, no, at 7 o'clock, I'm going to get out of bed. By 7:15, I'm in the shower. By 7:25, my teeth are brushed, my hair is combed. You know, all these things. And some people are like, well, you know, by noon, I want to take a shower. But I want to do these other things. Order. That it's productive. And it also means undisciplined. It also means insubordinate to God's word. Think about it. When we're insubordinate to what God's called us to do, not just his written word, what about what he's told you to do? I know people who are supposed to be preaching this morning who are not. because they chose a different route in life, and they're kind of miserable. They're insubordinate to what God's called them to do. And the thing about it is that when we become insubordinate to God's word, we become fruitless. And I don't want to be fruitless. I want a bunch of fruits. I want to have so much fruit. Because when we produce fruit, you know how we produce fruit? Is by hanging out with the vine. Who's the vine? Jesus. And we're one of his branches. And as a branch, we go where the vine tells us to go. And guess what? Wherever you're connected to, that's what you're going to produce. So if you're connected to the wrong stuff, you're going to produce the wrong stuff. And did you know? Maybe you did. But I didn't know this until about 9 years ago. That tomato plants cannot grow where black walnut trees are. Why? Because of the soil. But beans, green beans, and peas, and carrots grow wonderfully there. We didn't know this. We were wondering why our tomato plants were a failure our first year in our house. Because we planted them right next to a black walnut tree. And so the thing about it, where you're planted, if you're planted in a good soil for where you're supposed to grow, you're going to produce fruit. You're going to produce things. But if you're planted in the wrong soil, like if you're listening to the rotten tomatoes or rotten apples, you're going to produce because that's the soil. And when naysayers come, tell them naysay someplace else. And so when we're undisciplined, we're insubordinate to God's word, and hence we're fruitless because lacking proper order or discipline. We hate that word in the Christian community, discipline, because we think it's rigid, and sometimes it is. I'm disciplined to go for a morning walk every morning, even this morning, even yesterday. The only times I will not venture out if it's icy, because I don't want to break a limb or any other body parts. But I do have these little things you put on your boots now, click, click, click. I call them my clickly clacks. And about this, I have two pairs. But I have to be disciplined, because if I don't go out for a walk, that throws my day off. Even when we go to camp, when we have to leave at 6:15 in the morning, I'm out extra early. Why? Because I know I have to get my walk in. Because I need to be disciplined. Sometimes it has to be that rigid. And other times I'm not so disciplined. But sometimes God said discipline is a healthy thing in our life. Am I disciplined to get the chores done I need to get done that day? Am I disciplined to do what God asked me to do that day? Am I going to be disciplined in every area of my life? Or am I going to let some areas go, you know, it's okay. No, we got to be disciplined. And not according to tradition, but Paul's saying here, he goes, don't follow tradition, they receive. It's like, I've taught them something. Let them follow that. Because tradition will say, you know, Jesus is a good man. He didn't really die. Tradition, tradition, tradition. We have traditions in our home. Every Christmas Eve, we go out to Arby's. It's a tradition that my wife and I started when we first got married. I think only 1 year we missed out of the whole entire time. It's a tradition. But if our kids don't keep it, that's fine, because it's just a tradition. But I want them to lean into Jesus more than into tradition. traditions that we meet on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. That's our tradition. What if they want to meet at 9 a.m. when they get older and they get married and have kids and they're going to a church at 9? Oh, no. No, it's okay. Or we meet at a church that meets on Saturday mornings. That's okay because that's their tradition. And the thing about it is that we have to say, what's more important, following Jesus or following tradition? Tradition will keep you locked that you can't expand what God's called you to do. Paul's saying, you know something, tradition is okay, but there's something greater than tradition, and his name is Jesus. And then Paul continues, and he goes, if no one eat, if they're unwilling, those unwilling, because he goes, verse 10, he goes, even while we were with you, we gave you this command. This is a command for this church, for Thessalonica. If you are unwilling to work, no food. That's a hard statement. If you're unwilling to be a productive part of society, no work, no food. But what if I'm unable? He didn't say unable. He goes, if you are able to work. And it doesn't mean that you have a broken pinky, you can't show up to work. All right? You're okay with a broken pinky. You don't need 6 weeks off for a broken pinky. There's times that you're in the hospital and you can't work. That's different. What about retirement age? There's still things God asks you to do. You can still be a productive part of society. Because a lot of times when we become bored, we get ourselves in trouble. You ever notice that? You ever notice that when people are bored, they get themselves in trouble? Well, I'm just bored with life. I'm going to go, my marriage is boring. My job is boring. This is boring. That's churches. I want to throw a fuss because life is boring. See, when things are boring, we have a disorderly life. And Paul is saying, if you're able to work, then, you know, if you're not, you don't get to eat. I mean, sometimes we like to clean up the God's word a little bit to make it more sanitary for us Americans. Well, what if about a paralegal who is all in a wheelchair and can't move? They're unable to work, okay? You know, if you have major health issues, a heart issue, there's probably still things you can do that won't strain your heart. And just because the government says you're unable to work doesn't mean you can't work. Now, if you're not able to work, because all these, and I'm not saying you have to go get a job, work 9 to 5, 40 hours a week. That's not what Paul's saying here. He's saying be a productive part of the church, a productive part of what God's doing, being a productive part of society, rather than always taking. Why don't we give a little? And that's what he's saying here. He's not saying that you have to go and at 90 years old and you have to go start a business. He's saying there's still things that, because you're alive, there's still purpose and there's things that God still has desire for you to carry out and fulfill and to do. And he goes, because a lot of times we're like, well, what if they're not legally able to work in America? There's still things they can do. Because I knew a gentleman, him and his wife came from South Africa when we were in Arizona. She came on a working visa because she worked in the medical field. And he came along with their two kids at the time. And legally, he was not able to work. So what he did, he found people in the church who needed help and volunteered his time to be a productive part of society and help out those who had a need. And the money he would get from them, if he charged anything, he would just roll right back into the ministry. So he could go buy the products other people couldn't afford. So even though legally he couldn't work, he was still helping out people, ministering to people, so he wouldn't be sitting around and doing nothing. You notice that those who sit around and do nothing get in more trouble than those who are doing stuff? I learned that as a manager. I had people who would just sit around. You give them tasks to do. And they just sat. And you gave it to them. And they just looked at you. Why you give other people tasks and they'd be busy. And they're like, why am I always getting in trouble? Because you're just standing around doing nothing. And you're getting yourself in trouble. Go do something. Because Paul even warns us about that. Because in verse 11, it goes, yeah, hear that some of you are living idle lives, refusing to work, and meddling in other people's business. The worst thing we can do is get into people's problems. And what I mean by that, so you don't say, Pastor doesn't want me to get involved with him. No. If somebody's having a squabble with somebody else, stay out of it. Absolutely stay out of it. Because guess what? You'll never win. If your two friends of yours are having a fight, tell them to take it out in the parking lot. Tell them to solve it. That it's not your job to pick sides because you can still be friends with both. What about the family? Why, you know what your brother did? Do you know what your sister did? Do I really care? No. Click. Because what will happen is they'll bring you in. They love triangulizing. And what I mean by that, you have party A, party B, you're right here. They're both trying to get you on their side to prove that they're right. And they're both probably wrong. Most of the time, they're both right and wrong at the same time. Does that mean that we can't help people out? No, that's not what I'm saying. If somebody's hurting, if somebody needs it here, but don't take sides. You know? Because it's easy to take a side. Well, you should see how she treats me. How do you treat her? You know, the dog bites for a reason. Most of the time. And sometimes it's not your issue. They bite. Sometimes dogs are mean because of the way they were trained. And they'll bite you. And if you had, I didn't do it. See, when we meddle, when we gossip about busybodies, it means to busy oneself about trifling, needless, useless manners. In other words, being busybody about stupidest things on the face of the earth. Who cares what people are wearing? As long as they're wearing something. Right? Especially in Minnesota today. Who cares what the latest style is? Who cares what the latest hairdo is? Who cares how long their eyelashes, fake eyelashes, go out and attack people? Who cares? See, these are trifle, useless things. Well, I gotta look good. Those eyelashes do not look good. They scare me. And so the thing about it is that it's trifleless, needless stuff. And then you put in your nose and people's affairs, that doesn't need to go. And sometimes you put it in when it's not even asked for. I would never do that, Pastor. Okay. Next time you want to give your opinion about something to somebody, don't. Because, you know, the pennies are gone, so you don't even have 2 cents anymore. And so the thing about it, we want to give our opinion. Well, I got an opinion. As a slave of Christ, as a child of God, I don't have an opinion. It's the kingdom of God's opinion. I don't have an opinion what's going on up in the Twin Cities. I have a kingdom of God opinion. Let's pray for their salvation. Let's pray the Holy Spirit moves. Let's pray for sanity to come back to people's lives. That's my prayer. I don't care. Because the thing about it, we should have a kingdom of God response, not a political response. When we have a kingdom of God response, kingdom of God response is people are losing lives that don't know Jesus up there, who are dying, and they're not going to spend eternity with Jesus. That's the kingdom of God response. How can we impact them for the kingdom of God? Wow, you don't know what they, I don't care what they did. How can we impact them for the kingdom of God? And what can God do in their lives? How can we push back the darkness in Dodge Center, in Dodge County, so we can have the light of Jesus shining forth, moving in this place? How can we get more people who are struggling with things come and say, I got set free. I got set free. Jesus set me free. That should be our response. Then Paul goes on and goes, we command such people, urge them in the name of the Lord Jesus to settle down. In other words, get a job, pay your bills, and do something for the kingdom of God and mind your own business. Does it really matter what another church is really doing in this city as long as they're doing something for the kingdom of God? It doesn't. I root for my fellow pastors who are reaching out to other people in this community, in Dodge County, Dodge Center. I really don't care as long as they're preaching the gospel that Jesus is the only way to the Father. Let's go. Now, they're preaching a different gospel. I'm not rooting for them because that's a false doctrine. But I will root for those who are saying Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life. The only way to the Father is through Jesus. If they're preaching the kingdom of God, the gospel of Jesus, he came from heaven to earth to be born of a virgin, to live a sinless life, and to die on the cross, to take hell and grave, and say, I got the keys, and I'm not just, I rose from the dead, and now I sit at the right hand of the Father. That's who I root for. I don't care if they speak in tongues, I don't care if they don't, because that's secondary. First and only dairy is that, do they believe in Jesus, the Messiah, the Lord and Savior of their life, and if they're preaching it, and everything else, it doesn't matter. I don't care what day of the week they meet. That's who I'm rooting for. That's who I'm going for. That's whose team I want to be on. And if a pastor in the AG is not preaching the kingdom of God and they're preaching a false doctrine, they're not on my team. Because my team lines up with the word of God. Our team. And it says quietness. Just going along, doing what God told you to do. Just keep doing what God called you to do. Because then Paul says, do not grow weary doing good. In the verse 13, it says, but as for you, brethren, do not grow weary in doing good. How many of you grow weary in the middle of doing something and you feel like giving up? Do not grow weary. We're all bound to grow weary doing good stuff over. Oh, you mean I gotta go and serve again? The hardest thing for me to do, I'll be honest with you. We'll be upstairs, my wife and I, and I'm laying in bed, maybe reading or whatever I'm doing. And then all of a sudden she goes, I forgot something downstairs. Would you be so loving and kind and go get it for me? Of course I will. But man, I'm already in bed. My electric blanket's on. I got my extra blankie on right now. I don't want to get out downstairs because the heat's already been turned down for the night. I don't want to go where it's cold. Why did you forget it? You know, all this. But doing good is pushing back. I will go do it because it's the right thing to do. And sometimes you get weary doing the good stuff over and over. You mean being disciplined? Yeah. Doing the right thing over and over. Don't grow weary doing discipline. Because in the end results, you'll be blessed. You will be. You'll be greatly and highly blessed. And that's what God wants us to do. He wants us to carry out what He's called us to do. If you're able to do something, do it. Do it with all your might. Do it with all your strength. Give God glory. You know, because retirement doesn't show up in the Word of God. Retooling, moving from season to season or from event to event or something to something, there's always something to do. I guarantee you. If you're bored, invite Jesus into your life. Say, hey, Jesus, what do you want me to do today? Because He'll ask you to go knock on your neighbor's door. That's kind of nerve-wracking because they see you day in and day out.
So you know what, Pastor?
Yeah.
This is what I promise over my life. I will never do retired because the time you used to work a lot and then all of a sudden you decided to stop working. Mm-hmm. And then this is the time the body gets tired.
Yeah.
And then you feel like, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. This is not a very good idea
for no.
people to be retired.
Nope. So there's always something to do. I guarantee you, David back there, he's got stuff to do. Maybe not as much as other people do, but he gets to wake up, he gets to see his puppy dog. And so there's things, they might not be big to some people, but God wants you to keep doing something for His kingdom. It's not time to sit back. Guess what? This is the greatest time to be alive. With everything going on, your light will shine brighter this week than it did 6 months ago. Because darkness wants to take over. But you can push back that darkness. And you can have victory. And you can move forward. And great things are going to take place. And so, be about the Lord's business, not idle business. And so, let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We thank You for all You've done and all You're doing.